Okay, so welcome back to the last class of, I guess I had the title wrong the other day. It's Elementary Music Culture, I think is what it is, but anyway. So to kind of wrap this class up, I kind of felt like I missed a few things yesterday, so I want to go back and do that. I also want to give you some time, if we have time, for any more, like if there's anything else you want to discuss, because I feel like we can all learn from each other. We all have different experiences in our classrooms. So, one thing that we did not go over then yesterday. Actually, before I do that, I'm going to tell you. So, these that we had gone over yesterday. These flashcards, I had looked it up, and the ones of you that signed up for links, I will send you the link to the place that you can buy these. But it looks like they're $6.25 for this pack and $6.25 for this pack. So just so you kind of know what you're getting into if you decide you want them for your classroom. I think I said they were probably like $12, so I guess together it is. and I was thinking there was something else I was going to look up on this one. It's IG Publishers, if anyone cares to write it down instead of me sending you the link, but I will be happy to send you the link. IG Publishers. And for those of you that were not in here yesterday, these flashcards are what I did, especially with my first and second graders. And this is from the Talkademy rhythm of teaching music. If you can imagine these with, you know, a note down here. This is for a quarter note, and this is for 2/8 notes, and this is the rest that they use because children can't draw the other quarter rest. But they base all of their, well, this, the With Glad Voices, this is what this is from, bases everything off of, like, a lot of their stuff is actually 2/4 timing, so it's based off of the quarter note, two beats, a lot of the songs that they have you sing and stuff. So this is when you're learning the beat to this, you would say ta, ta di, ta, rest. And I would always have them whisper it, rest. So I wanted to get into this a little bit more today. I always had hearts that were magnetic that went up on my board. And I have no idea where they got to, and so I ordered these off of Amazon, and they're supposed to be, well, I thought they were going to be bigger than this. I thought they were going to look different. And they don't stick on this whiteboard. So, I'm not giving these to you guys. They're going in the trash once I'm done here. Because they don't work. Either that or I'm going to send them back. I don't know if they still have a package or not. So I got some sticky tack. It would actually be better if you had a different color. I was looking for like red, because you know we think those do hearts red, or even pink. Oh, that's not even gonna work. Okay. I may have to give up on the hearts. They don't want to be helpful today, I guess.
Sometimes they don't stick, like, sticky tack doesn't stick to the whiteboard if you do it on the wall or something.
Never thought of that. Well, I was like, why is it not sticking? Good point, thank you. Oh, that works better. Hopefully you can see these, they're almost the same color. Except I kind of need them on my whiteboard. today. I just have to tell you instead of showing you. You could even, you know, if you wanted something like this, you could just make your own out of construction paper and, or have your students help you and just stick magnets on the back. I had a set of 16 of them so that you could, like, you know, create a little song out of them if you wanted. So this was to go along with those flashcards. This was the other thing that we did with the Taws and the Toddies and the Rests. And this is a great way to have the students make up their own rhythm. I would have them maybe come up here and, you know, they could do whatever. Okay, nothing's gonna work today. We're gonna have problems. There we go. All right. So I would tell them that they could use the Taws, the Toddies, or the Rests and do it in any order, and they could come up and make their own, and then we could do it together. And so that just kind of got them involved. These were for each beat. The way I would explain this one to them, which is the, I got the idea from the With Glad Voices book, is to tell them to think of their heart. What does their heart do? And then you have the little heart. Not magnet things. But your heart always has the same, like the beat is consistent. Sometimes it's a little bit faster, sometimes it's a little bit slower, but it's always consistent. And that's what we want for the beat of a song. And so if you can think of the beat is like the same as your heartbeat. That's always how I would explain it to them. So, and again, like I said yesterday, you can, to teach them the beat, you can have them clap for each heart that there is while you're saying your Taws and Toddies and your Rests. Or you can have them do the rhythm and clap for each syllable that you have. And that kind of helps them to like differentiate between the beat and the rhythm. So let's do the beat on this one. Let's just clap for each part to show you how we do that, how I did it with them. So this is Toddy, Ta, and Rest. All right, let's just the beat. Toddy, ta, rest. Toddy. Now let's do the rhythm. Toddy, ta, rest. Toddy. All right. So that's what I did with these. And like I said, I had 16 of them. So I would often have four students come up and do it. And then we would, you know, I'd often make all of them do it. A few of you weren't here yesterday. I was telling them that, that is often what I would do with first and second grade, is teach them the Taws and Toddies and the Rests this way. And then if you pulled out your book and they saw that there was a quarter note, I would then connect it with the Ta. That is the quarter note. The Toddy is 2/8 notes. And it made more sense to them if they were learning things, say in first grade, about this kind of thing, and then suddenly, you know, in third grade, it's like, oh, okay, well, that's actually what I was doing back then. It made so much more sense to them. Because if you use the CLE books, the first grade book is basically just learning the notes. So I often did other things with them as well. Actually, with first grade, I think I just did with Glad Voices, and maybe it was second or third grade that I went into the CLE books that we had. All right. watch is a little behind my clock. My watch is off. Okay. The other thing that I wanted to go over a little bit as well, and I don't think, no, I gave them to someone who did that. I was studying. I don't know if you still have your papers from yesterday. The one that just has a 16 with no writing at the bottom that's talking about dotted notes. And once again, I'm going to refer back to our money. Because that usually helped them a little bit more. So for a dotted whole note, if we have a whole dollar, and that is our four beats, our whole note, our whole dollar. So every quarter, I would tell them every quarter equals a beat. So we have our dollar here. We have four quarters in a dollar. I've gone over this as well yesterday. So the dollar equals a whole note. This is actually, I was using this for my half dollar because I couldn't find any. This is for the half note. We have a quarter for the quarter note, and then I was using pennies for the eighth notes because it doesn't connect with money anymore. So I would ask them, a dotted whole note is the same as a whole note plus a half note. So whatever the dot is half of what the note is before it. So if we have a whole note, what is half of a whole note? And I would make them figure out, you know, what is half of a whole note? And they would tell me, you know, the half dollar. And so I would tell them that the dotted whole note is like the whole dollar plus the half dollar, which is then how many beats they'd have to, we have four beats, two beats, which we have six beats then. And you can do that with the half dollar. Half of the half dollar is the quarter. So a dotted half note would be two beats plus one beat is three beats. And then the one that would always go in for the loop is the quarter note, a dotted quarter note, so it's a quarter note plus the eighth note, and that would always throw them because an eighth note is half of a beat, and they hated that. It's easier for them in their minds if they can be like, okay, two of them go together for a whole note, but somehow when you say that, you know, the eighth note is like half of a beat, it's harder for them to understand, and so they'll probably try to say that, you know, this is two beats instead of one and a half or something. So that is often what I did for that paper, was just to use the money again. And if you're going to do something like the CLE books, some of these things, you know, we would stick that up there, and I would just sometimes read their questions to them and just make them fill in the blanks at the table or wherever they were. Because I often had them either like sitting close to me, or if I was going to have them work in books, I had them at a table where we were close to a board, just because it's easier that way. We can get up and do stuff with the board, and they can go back and write stuff in their books. I was trying to remember if there was something on these other pages. I think that was about all on those pages. I was going to look at this a little bit. So the this learning rhythm with the Takadimi system of rhythm and solfege. The beat is always voiced as ta. And we didn't get into the Takadimi part in the with glad voices, but that would be 4/16th notes put together is the Takadimi. It shows you here the different time signatures. If time signatures are not your thing that you enjoy, it will be easiest for you if you can find songs for your children that are either like 2/4 or 4/4 timing, just because that will keep your tas and your toddies, it'll keep your quarter note as your beat. And if you're feeling ambitious with your students, you can have them, read some of these. Down here are examples. Maybe I should just go over this a little bit. So this top part here is saying that the half note, the 2/2, 3/2, and 4/2 timing, you have your half note as the beat. And so that kind of changes the whole thing, because then your beat is your ta still. So we didn't go into that with the younger ones. I always just kept it with this middle one here. So 2/4, 3/4, 4/4 timing, it just made it easier for them to like get it in their brains that the quarter note was the ta. I didn't want to like mess up the whole thing. They can learn about other time signatures later. And so down here in this section here, it would also be the middle one if you're wanting to go off of this 2/4, 4/4 timing. The examples are going to be over your first and second graders' heads, so I wouldn't even go with that. It's better for them to have things like these flashcards and go over that, have them make their own. It just makes more sense in their little minds. But this was more just for, actually one of my friends had sent me this. She said this was what their music teacher had gone off of in their school, kind of for his music classes. And I was like, you know what, I've never seen this whole thing, I don't think, like, spelled out quite like this. So it was interesting to me. Anyway, if music is not really your thing, you might want to just throw this in the trash, because it might just confuse you. If you enjoy music, it's interesting. I also wanted to go over the hand signs and the notes on our bodies again, just to kind of cement it in your mind. This is another thing that I can send you a picture of, something like this. This thing is like, I got it off of Amazon. I was like, oh, it's really cute. I'll just like give it to one of you guys. But I mean, if you're not like so careful with it, it bends so much. So if someone's actually interested in it, has a teeny little ding already. I think because I didn't keep it completely flat, the whole way here probably. But if anyone's interested in it, I'm not going to be sad to not take it home. But I just don't want to like give one of you guys a piece of trash. So, all right, let's do the solfege hand signs. We have do, I'll just go over them again. Do, re, mi, fa, so, la, ti, and do. So let's go ahead and do that. Stand up. Let's do these together. Do, do, re, mi, fa, so, la, ti, do, do, ti, la, so, fa, mi, fa. this, let's do the do, re, do, mi. Let's see if we can keep that and keep our wits about us. That's when these throw me off, is when I start doing all the hand signs. All right. No, do, re, do, mi. I should say about this, I think maybe this IG publisher is where I had gotten these. I think maybe they have the hand sign cards that you can like hang up on your wall, which their stuff, I mean, they used to have it all printed out and it came with their music book, but now it looks like you can just buy stuff separately than their music books, but then you have to download it and print it yourself, so that's kind of a pain. All right, and then let's do the scale on our bodies. So I'll go over that. So do is on your knees, re, mi, fa, so, la, ti, and do. All right.
No, do, re, mi, fa, so.
Sit down. And those, like I said, those are great things to teach to any class. It helps with so many things, honestly. It helped me, as much as I loved music and singing, it helped me to just hear where notes were supposed to be. Okay, and then we had the finger puppets that I wanted to go over a little bit. So someone had asked me if it was after class how I actually used them. And I was like, I think I showed them to you the first day and didn't really go over how I actually used them. So I wanted to get my students comfortable in singing by themselves in our classroom if we could. Didn't always happen to me. There were ones that still hated it badly every time I made them do it. But I would let them name them at the beginning of the year. Sometimes I would help them along so I didn't have, especially if I was teaching like five different classes that day or something. I mean, you can't have Freddie and Frankie and whatever, you know, the frog. You'll just forget. So you kind of have to keep them somewhat the same. But what I would do with these is I would hand them to my children or let them pick one for right then. And I would usually have a few of them, probably anywhere from 3 to 5 of them that they could pick from. And then I would tell them that I wanted them to sing like my name is and then put in their name. I just wanted them to like think outside of the little songs that they knew and be okay with like making up tunes, and because then later on in the year I would, you know, do stuff like this and then I'd be like, okay, now you can put, say, so and me or something on these notes so we could sing it. And I wanted them to be able to think past just the songs that they knew, and it's kind of hard to get out of that in your mind if, I mean, growing up, I never wanted to create my own songs. I'll sing all day, but don't make me, like, create songs. So I wanted to, like, you know, if there's any talent there at all, like, wake them up to that a little bit. So I would give them suggestions of how they could sing it. Often they would end up all singing kind of the same notes is what I did, which is fine. I just wanted them to like start thinking. And sometimes I would, you know, a couple days later or a couple weeks later, maybe I would have them, you know, do it again with another set of words, or have them do their name again and tell them to do it different than they did it the first time. But I would just give them suggestions, like, and tell them to use, pretend it's the puppet singing, you know? So, like, you could do, my name is Gina, or my name is Gina, my name is Gina. I mean, there's all sorts, you know. You can just show them what you want them to do and say, pick one, sing it. Sing it with your name. And I would sometimes give them these if I wanted them to sing a little solo, like repeat after me. Like I told you yesterday, the children sing song. You know, I would sing a phrase and have them repeat after me. And, you know, if they don't want to sing it, they can have their puppet sing it or whatever. And I had talked a little bit about having a bowl or a beanbag. I think that was the first day. I kind of just like rattled off a bunch of stuff and then didn't go into it much deeper than that. So with this, I would have them stand in a circle around me. We would all stand in a circle, and I would sing a phrase, and I would throw the ball to one of the students for them to sing the next one. And so no one knew who was going to be next. It kept them engaged. They had to pay attention because they didn't know if I was going to throw them the ball or not. Sometimes I would just tell the students also, like, you keep the ball and you throw it to the next person. You can pick. And I just would make sure that every student had a chance. Like, I would tell them, like, pick someone that hasn't had the ball today yet or something. And if it was a song that they all knew really well, I would tell them, you know, maybe you sing one phrase, you sing the next one until we're done with the song. If it was one that they knew really well. I think I had this. Sometimes I would actually bounce the ball to them, so they would have to, like, really pay attention to get it. I think I also had bean bags, and I would sometimes do that with them. You can also do two and, like, throw two at the same time. They'd have to do a duet, you know, sing together. Because it's just, it's good for them to learn how to sing separately, but also sing together and, like, you know, try to match their voices. Because honestly, if you're going to do much singing besides in church where you can sing as loud or as quiet as you want, if you're going to sing with other people, you're going to want to know how to sing together. And so as soon as you can, you know, teach that in school, the better, because you have programs and all of that kind of good stuff. And I know sometimes with the younger ones, it just is harder to get them to all sing on the same pitch, especially at first. Okay, so the thing of the finger puppets, I had a list of people over here that had signed up their name in if they wanted it. They wanted them. Was there anyone else that had wanted to put their name in and didn't? Raise your hand if you were going to and didn't or something. Okay, because I had pulled up a welcome to my life. Dropping my phone. I had done like a drawing app thingy, or like a wheel of names, I guess it's called. So I had two winners, and the two were Rosemary Brenneman. Is she in here? Nope. Okay. And Rowena was the other one.
Oh, yay.
Yay. So if Rosemary isn't here, I don't know, does anyone know if she's still around?
She's still here.
She's still here. Okay, well then I'll find it. I guess I'll let you pick the five you want, and we'll give her the other five, since you're in my class this morning. So.
Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. And I'll just leave them over here, and you can take them.
Okay.
take the five that you want. And while we're doing, and honestly, I mean, if you have access to things like Amazon, there's tons of options. I just went for the little cheap ones for this class. The other thing, this, would anyone, I guess I'll just go with, if anyone would be interested in this at all, you can tell me after class. If not, I'm not offended. We will deal with that. I was trying to think if there was something else that I, oh no, it was the hearts. I was going to give you these hearts, but I'm not going to because they have issues. Okay. Trying to think. I think maybe that was all that I was going to go over that we had kind of missed yesterday. To kind of wrap stuff up here. We have about 10 minutes yet. Does anyone have any other questions that you would have for everybody to discuss? Or any comments for us?
Did you have class, like all your class or any classes together every separate?
That's a good question. So the first year, I did them together. Whichever classes were in the same room, I did them together. So I think, were you still here then? So you would have had first grade, right? So first grade would have been separate, but then second and third would have been together, and then fourth and fifth would have been together. And I realized that I was just shooting myself in the foot with that because I was having to repeat stuff to catch the second graders up to where the third graders were. So we're halfway through the year before the third graders learn anything. And it was not profitable at all. And so unless it's, you know, unless you have like first and second grade and you want to do something clear different than what the second grade has done before, you know, like the, say you want to do the Sing for Joy or the With Glad Voices or something, that's fine. You can do the first and second grade together. If you're going to do, you know, books, which I know, one of the teachers here, he had grades 5, 6, and 7, I think he said, and he just did sixth grade music for everybody. So you can do a little bit of that kind of stuff. But especially with the younger ones, I don't feel like it's a super smart idea. Maybe some of the rest of you have a different opinion. It depended. So if I was the main teacher and then also teaching music, and I had, say, like 2 grades or something. How many grades do you have?
3.
I probably wouldn't do them all the same day unless you can combine them. Because that's just going to be so overwhelming. If you're going to do like separate books. And I would even say like you could keep them short, especially if they're, if you do have books. Do you have books like CLE or something? Because even if you just, which you could think about this a little more, you could do like your main, like if you're going to do, you know, the scale, if you're going to do anything on the board, any little fun, anything, you could do that together and then just do like your work part separate if they still have, you know, work from earlier in the day, and you could just, you know, do say like 10 or 15 minutes in their book, and that should be fine. If I was just the music teacher, I think I did about a half hour per class, but you know, there was still the second and third grade teacher had one class in there that she could be doing something else with, because I just had one class at a time. So I usually just, you know, if there was a class period that I had like second and third grade for, I would just split it in half kind of. So it might be 20 minutes, 30, kind of dependent. But I would say that, yeah, if you have multiples, it would probably be better to do like your stuff that you can do all together and then just try to keep the book work, especially if you have CLE. They're short. Like, the books aren't long. You don't need to do very many pages a week, even. I just did music once a week when I came in and taught music. I think I also did that just when I was the teacher. I sang with them every day. But to actually, like, sit down and do music books, I just did it once a week. So that's what I probably would personally do. But the more classes you have, the harder it's going to be to keep it, to make it interesting, because you have three other math classes and three other language classes and stuff to study for, too. So you kind of have to think about your own brain space, too. Yeah, I know, because I really struggled with that when I was the teacher, to like, where do you fit music in? It always felt like it was just the last, like, if we had time that week. And I hated it. I always sang with them every day, but the actual music classes. Because, yeah, I think we don't give singing as much credit as we should. In our lives and yeah, church and stuff. Okay, thank you. Anyone else have any other questions or comments?
Just something on those hand signs. I know when I first learned them, they were very confusing and I could not, like, I don't know, it was just hard for me to learn them.
Yeah.
Until somebody told me, like, you have do, mi, so, do, or kind of your keynote. So, like, it's like do, mi, so, do. And that's pretty easy to remember.
Yeah. Everything's in between.
And then if you think of how the notes relate to each other, like when you're singing do, re, mi, re kind of pushes up towards mi, like the sound. Yeah. And so then your hand, and the same with fa, kind of falls back down. And all of a sudden it started making more sense to me, like what we're actually doing. The same with
yes.
T, kind of points up to do, like in the sounds.
Yeah.
And then that kind of worked with me. I don't know if that clicks with everybody, but that.
It does. That's very helpful. Thank you.
Then it, to me, because before they were all kind of these meaningless signs. Like, how do you remember what order?
Yeah.
And that just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, that does. Thank you for that. I'd never heard that explanation. I like that. Because it was always, I mean, I know the hand signs, but sometimes I'm like, I better watch her. I'm going to, especially if I'm thinking of other things, like in a classroom setting, I'm like, I'm watching them as much as anyone else. So I like that. Thank you. Okay, is there anything else?
It's not really music, but where do you find like good songs for children? Like, that are new, they can learn new songs, like sheet music, like where do you
That
find
is them? A very good question, because I have struggled with that a lot. So when I was teaching the With Glad Voices had all the songs in the back of the book that we could learn, and they weren't like songs that I wanted them to sing for like devotions, but it was just for music class. And I haven't really been able to find them any other place besides in that book. But to just sing with my students, is that more what you were going for? So honestly, I went back through my folders from my teachers, because they're not, it was a lot of songs that you couldn't really find anywhere else. Like, and some of them I have never actually seen music for. We had the written words and we just learned them. Wouldn't you say? But I did, especially with younger ones, the We Sing songbooks. I don't know if you've heard of those at all. We, it's like W-E-E, like we. We Sing. And they have, I think it's two of their little songbooks that are more like Bible songs, like the wise man built his house upon the rock. A lot of songs like that. There's Jesus Loves Me in there, Jesus Loves Little Children. I think Come Bless the Lord is in there, which is kind of a repeat song, but the repeat isn't exactly the same. But I used those a lot, those two songbooks, especially for younger students. I don't know what grades you have. Yeah, might be. You could find some out of there, I would say. Other than that, I don't have a ton of songbooks. There's a, I think I would have gotten a couple maybe out of like those little orange songbooks. What were those ones that we used when we were like in first, second grade? They were like little silver.
Silver gems.
Yeah, I don't even know if they print them anymore. But we used those in school a lot, and I think they would have more children's songs but have parts, right? I haven't looked at one of them in a long time. But I think, like Dare to Be a Daniel and some of those that would have more parts in them.
Well, the orange ones do.
Yeah, that would have some of those. You just have to be a little careful when sifting through them if you actually want more like children-friendly songs, yeah. That book. But I think that Silver Gems one, I should go see if I can find one of those again.
Yeah.
Other than that, I've not found a ton of like children's ones that are like child friendly.
Yeah.
For, but yeah, I kind of went back through my stash. I had kept those folders. Yeah. Anyway, one like the puppy parable. I've never seen that anywhere else. Have you?
Yeah. But that
once
one.
Once there was a little puppy in a parable.
Yeah.
I heard.
Mm-hmm. But that.
I think. Right. Well, I couldn't find it the other day when Michelle wanted it, but.
She did. Okay.
Yeah.
I could
well, Laura, I think, sent it to her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
we had that one in music. Or Samson.
Yeah. Samson. And a lot of those, like, I don't know where you'd even find them anymore. It was just old songs that we had printed. I don't know. Okay. Any other comments quickly before we... Maybe someone has another children's book that... Another suggestion.
For her. Me,
yes, you did tell me about that Follow Me songbook. I was going to look into that a little bit, and I didn't.
You're talking about the ones of, like, gender efficiency. Mm-hmm. That one maybe be a little bit more for, like...
A little bit older?
Older students.
Okay.
I mean, there would be songs in there you could sing with your younger students. But
yeah.
But so, even the orange songbooks, it's amazing how many songs they don't know in there.
I know. I know, especially the younger ones. It's true.
Songbook.
Yeah. When it's just a funny, like, I think I teach my children songs. And then, you know, we had an outdoor singing with our church here the other Sunday night, and there was one or two of the children's songs that my 5-year-old just sat there and, like, I was like, did I not teach those to you? Like, you think you're teaching them songs, and suddenly it's like, wait, I think I have some homework to
do. There are so many children's songs.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thank you all so much for coming to my classes.
Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. Always makes it more interesting when we can give each other ideas instead of just having a preacher.